Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Some sad news here off the top. Beamish and Finley, we're back. 106.7 The Fan. Colt Brennan, Hawaii star, Washington football team preseason star, passed away. Yeah. 37 years old.
Whoa.
This is according to Hawaii News Now. Remember, he starred at the University of Hawaii. Not a ton of information here, but I mean, this is a legitimate newspaper from Hawaii reporting it, so I certainly believe it. You know, our condolences go out to the family. That is sad stuff.
Yes.
Did you ever know him at all? That had to be
not
well after you.
Him, but yeah. I talked with him a couple of times. Like, not, you know, you in passing at events, but, you know, to actually sit there and to truly know him, no, I wouldn't say that.
Now, I think he was dealing with some issues after his playing career, and I think he had been arrested. I think there was some other stuff there, but you hate to see that. Certainly for anybody, a 37-year-old is way too young for that. I wanted to switch gears from that, obviously. In about 25 minutes, we will be joined by Mr. Tariq El-Bashir, covers the Capitals for The Athletic. Got to get down to the Caps play the Bruins tonight, and then more importantly, Saturday night is game one, Landville. Wow. Saturday night, the Washington Capitals begin round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, there's going to be more and more fans allowed into Capital One Arena, and I believe we're exactly 1 month away. June 11th is when capacity restrictions will lift all over D.C. So Nats Park will be sold out, or at least available to be sold out.
Yeah.
And Capital One Arena will be available to be sold out. Also, music venues, the Anthem, 930 Club, smaller places all over the city. You hope all those get to come back. I am excited. I am fully vaccinated. I hope everyone gets that way, and we can just move this thing forward.
Yeah.
Today, how excited are you for the Caps and the Wiz? It's been a little while since we've had the Caps and the Wiz in the playoffs same time. It's fun in this town when they're both playing in May hopefully June.
And for it to be coming about and hearing that information that, you know, you'll probably have full capacity if it goes that long with some of them, you know, that would be a big plus for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we talk about the Caps and how they played and things of that nature. And you can get some home ice advantage as well. And then even the Wiz, the way they played without people in the stands, can you imagine the lift that they'll get? Russ, we watch Russ play like with that level of energy. He plays like that without people being in the stands. Can you imagine when people are in the stands? What else? What other level can he go to?
I mean, who knows? Honestly, I think it's pretty remarkable. But Cody Betts, after chugging the hot sauce, was grinding back to work and found something pretty interesting that I did want to bring up before we get to Tariq and before we kind of dive into the Capitals' playoff chances. About the Packers this weekend, all the talk is about Aaron Rodgers and potentially not playing for Green Bay. And I'm at the point now, B. Mitch, I don't know if you agree, I think there's a greater percent chance he doesn't play for Green Bay than he does. Where are you on that?
I don't know just yet, because he said, as some of the things came out about him talking to his friends, that if they tried to fix some things, then he'll probably be back. What is fixing things? Do the Green Bay Packers think that they have enough left with Aaron Rodgers to win some more than they do a general manager? That if you look at the success level of that general manager, what has he truly done? I think if they were to try and make certain moves, they could probably still keep him. So that's why I'm kind of like leaning on that side still.
I don't see it, man. I think he's gone, honestly. I certainly wouldn't. It's not a lock. It's not a done deal. But I just don't see it coming back. And, Cody, can you kind of share the information you found? Now, it's important to preface. This weekend, the Washington football team is hosting 2 days of rookie minicamp.
All right.
What does that mean? You get a team full of rookies out there having practice. So that's probably 8, let's generously say 10 guys that will join the organization. But you still have teams of 70, 80 guys out there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of players that are not going to play for the team. But I found this interesting, one name in particular. Go ahead, Cody.
Oni, you just wanted to – the players that are trying out for the Packers are Chad Kelly and Kurt Benkert. So they're bringing in some new guys.
Chad Kelly, isn't that Jim Kelly's nephew?
Yes. Yeah. Chad Kelly's the one that stands out to me because he played at Ole Miss. He was – if you go back to what's the Netflix series about the football team and now they've done the basketball team.
Last Chance U?
Last Chance U. Yeah. If you go back to the school of Last Chance U, Chad Kelly played there before he transferred to Ole Miss. His nickname is Swag Kelly, but it's not an S. It's a dollar sign. So
hey, he believes a lot in himself.
It's a good way to put it, B-Mitch. Now, he was drafted in the 7th round by the Broncos. I don't believe he's ever played in a game, or if he has, he's never thrown a pass. He was drafted in the 7th round in 2017. So this is a kid that's now 17, 18, 19, 20, 4 years removed. He's had lots of trouble in his career. I'm not sure how much coaches love him. I think he's been on some practice squads. I think he might have been with the Colts last year. That's not the kind of name you typically bring in to be a camp body at rookie minicamp.
But he was brought in more or less. There are people, when you watch Last Chance U, they had some ball players.
Ballers.
They had issues. But many people, like I told you before when I was asked, did I have any relatives in the NFL? And I said, Lydell Mitchell and Bobby Mitchell. They know who his uncle is.
Sure.
And if they can get a smidgen of that talent out of him, and he's on the right track, somebody can see that as a big come up. They're going to try and see what can happen.
Now, there's also Kurt Benkert that Cody just referenced. I think he played at UVA.
Yeah, UVA grad and preseason legend.
But this is a dude that's 25 and has never played in the NFL. That, to me, is a rookie minicamp guy you bring in. Chad Kelly, former draft pick that played at Ole Miss, that everybody knows his name. On some level, is this just another thing that's going to piss Aaron Rodgers off? Or does Aaron Rodgers just get mad at everything? Is that the stage of the universe we've reached?
Well, some quarterbacks get it, and I think a lot of fans have sat there and allowed it and say, well, he's a quarterback. You shouldn't challenge him like that. You should challenge everybody. If the quarterback, all we hear about the quarterback, if Aaron is as put together as they claim, I wouldn't be fazed by them. I'm still Aaron Rodgers. Who are you? Jordan Love, who? Kelly? You couldn't even stay in a regular college, a high school, nothing. You know, you kept getting dropped and people kept passing by because you had all. I wouldn't be concerned by them one bit. But this is what society has allowed us now. We get to a point where we feel we can be involved with stuff, and we can't be tested like everybody else.
It's an interesting time. I think I'm getting a lot of texts and tweets about Colt Brennan. We're sorry to hear the news that's just emerging from Hawaii that Colt Brennan has passed away at 37. I know he's dealt with adversity and some issues on his own, but people in D.C., I believe, loved that dude. And I think it's a sad moment. I got a text from a buddy that says he was one of the best guys I've ever dealt with. And it's just sad stuff. If people want to call in and reflect on Colt Brennan, I'll certainly that's available, 800-636-1067. Where you are talking with Tarik El-Bashir from The Athletic about the Capitals playoff run coming up here in a few minutes. But certainly 800-636-1067. If people want to reflect on the time Colt Brennan was with the Washington football team, I mean, he put up bananas.
Hell of numbers.
Numbers at Hawaii. And when he was drafted, I believe he was drafted here, right? Or was he just assigned? Did they just sign him? But, I mean, they people talked about the cult of Colt. So he was drafted in the sixth round in 2008. I don't believe he ever played in a game. But, man, people loved that guy. It's hard to track down preseason stats. I'm going to try to do it. But he played really well in the preseason. We have somebody calling in here on the Gambit DC listener line. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. The phone number is 800-636-1067. If you want to reflect on Colt Brennan, who sadly we have heard has passed away out in Hawaii at the age of 37. Here's Ryan in Leesburg. What's up, man? You want to talk about Colt Brennan?
Yeah, man. Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I love y'all's show. Y'all are mine. I look forward to sitting down listening to y'all every week. But yeah, when he was signed by the Redskins, I worked out at a local resort in the area. I don't want to name the place, but he would come around fairly often just to visit the facilities, play golf, just like the rest of the guys. And there was one night at the club where he came in. We had a wedding. He was like, "Is there a wedding back there?" I said, "Yeah, yeah, Colt, but you can't go." He goes, "Oh, it'll be all right, man." I said, "Colt, you can't go. It'll be all right, man." Homeboy goes right inside that room. Didn't see him for 2.5 hours. He was involved with the wedding. They invited him in. He was in there just hanging out, having fun, taking pictures with everybody. He was just one of those guys that he just wanted to laugh and smile and make sure everybody else laughed and smiled around him. You know, we always look forward to when he came around the restaurants and the clubs because he's just a good dude, just a good surfer guy. Played football.
Yeah, man. Thank you for the call, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for – hey, I appreciate y'all.
Okay. The news here is that Colt Brennan, former – it's hard to call him a former Washington quarterback because he never played in a game, but he was drafted by Washington in the sixth round in 2008 and was – I mean, he was a cult hero. People loved him in the preseason. I'm looking at some tweets. Tailgate Ted's tweeting out RIP Colt Brennan. One of the smartest D.C. sports fans, I think, out there is Dre. People know him on Twitter as Mr. D.C. Sports Back. He said, Cult of Colt was a top five extreme skins thing. Back when message boards dominated the internet in kind of the early and mid-2000s, the Cult of Colt was huge. And Dre said, extreme skins message board was skins Twitter on steroids. Younger folks will never understand that. And he's right, man. It was wild. And I think this is going to resonate with people. And certainly if you look at his college stats, which I pulled up, I mean, he was making Hawaii must-watch in the middle of the night. In 2006, as a junior at Hawaii, he threw for 70 – he completed 73% of his passes for 5,549 yards and 58 touchdowns against just 12 picks. This was before – the air raid spread offenses that have become so prolific in college football. I believe it was June Jones out there.
They threw the ball around.
And I wish I had this. He finished sixth in the Heisman voting in 2006, third in 2007. Washington drafted him after
58 touchdowns.
I mean, in his career at Hawaii, he threw 131 touchdowns against 42 picks. Let's go to Joe in Fairfax. Let him reflect on Colt Brennan for a moment. Joe, what's up, man? All right. Joe dropped. Call back if you want. Let's go to John in Arlington. John, what's up, man? You want to talk about Colt Brennan?
Yeah, I just want to say, I mean, it's crazy. He was like the ultimate underdog story. I always loved him. I mean, it seems like just yesterday or, you know, a year or two ago, he was playing for us, and I never thought that I'd see this in the headlines. But, like, even going back to Colt's time at Texas, like, he was always just an underdog, and I just can't believe to hear this news, man.
No. Colt Brennan, not Colt McCoy.
Yeah, Colt Brennan.
Yeah, he said at Texas. That's Colt McCoy.
Yeah, let's be clear.
This is Colt Brennan. I read through this whole thing, this story here, he had a long
He was dealing with a lot of drinking addiction issues,
yeah, of that nature.
We're talking about Colt Brennan, not Colt McCoy. Let's be very clear about that.
And I think that's the ultimate thing where you got to realize. I know people always look at people and they just look for. Sometimes those that had a lot of success in their lives, when they get away from it, it's hard for them to deal with not having it. You get what I'm saying?
For sure.
And you look at him, how great he was at the University of Hawaii. Then he comes to the league. Things don't work out how he play. He goes back to Hawaii, where I'm sure he was trying to live up to what he was. And, you know, because the last time he was arrested, I think it was like in, 2020, at the end of the year, in October or something like that, but I started reading. It was a long line of stuff. A head-on crash he had and all these different things out there. So, ultimately, I say it all the time. Yeah, guys play football. They play basketball, all these things. But, you know, they're human beings. They deal with everything just like everybody else. And sometimes when people act a certain way, they're not just doing whatever. They're basically reaching out for help. They're asking you to help them out. And we have to do that as friends and family members. Try to be the best at it. You got to start know. You know when somebody's being different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, reacting to the news that former Hawaii star and Washington football team draft pick Colt Brennan has passed away in Hawaii. The news has come out. He's dealt with addiction and some legal issues over the years. He's only 37 years old. Dan, what's up, man? You're on the Gambit DC Listener Lines.
Hey, great to talk to you guys again, man. I love the show.
Appreciate Thanks, that. Man.
Thank you, man.
I was shocked to hear this news, and I had to, like, catch my breath because he was one of the players who, when he was with our team, I thought, you know, he was going to end up being a really good player. We always romanticize about these players like Darnarian McCants and Wakari Rambo and even like Chad Dukes and players like that who don't pan out. But, yeah, man, I like that story about when he went to that wedding. That was a really cool story. And, I'm a little choked up about it, man. I can't believe he was so young and he passed away.
Sad news, certainly. Thank you for the call, Dan. For those just tuning in, former Hawaii star quarterback, placed third in the Heisman voting in 2007, Washington sixth-round pick in 2008. Colt Brennan has passed away in Hawaii. Our condolences to the family, and sad news. What we've got to do here is we're going to move forward. In just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Tariq El-Bashir of The Athletic. The Capitals play their season finale tonight, and then this weekend, their hunt for another Stanley Cup trophy kicks off. We're going to break all that down with Tariq when we return, 106.7 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Got a new fool, huh? I like it like that. Let me stand next to your fire. That's going to be Cody Betts later. Beavis and Finley, we are back.
Gonna burn the house down.
Busy, busy Tuesday. Tomorrow's a Caps Wednesday, but right now, it's time to talk. We know the playoff matchup. We know who they're going to face, but we don't know who they're going to face tonight. And who the Caps are going to have when they get on the ice this weekend. You know who might know? Tarik El-Bashir covers the Washington Capitals for The Athletic. We're going to talk to him now on the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. You can follow Tarik on Twitter at Tarik_El-Bashir. Mr. T.E.B., what's going on, man? How do you do?
What's up, fellas?
Chilling, man. What's happening with you?
I can't complain. You know, it's just that time of year that everyone, reporters, players, fans, everyone's been waiting for this moment. And, you know, after tonight's regular season finale, we're finally there.
Well, you can't complain, but, you know, we're looking at the Caps right now, seem to not know exactly how the goalies are going to work. And Ovi's hurt, so some of us are complaining. How do you get us off? How do you get us off of that, the edge of this damn bridge of this house right now? We're about to jump.
It's concerning. There are certainly some things that are concerning. This isn't the ideal way that you drew it up when, you know, you were looking at the Caps maybe 2 or 3 weeks you headed into the postseason. You know, when you look at the teams that typically win the championship, there's two things that to me really stand out, and that is they were remarkably healthy. The majority of their key players were available and playing at, you know, as close to 100% as they can at this time of year. And they had a hot goaltender. I mean, you know, I know I've joked with you guys before. I mean, in the playoffs, you know, you can call it hockey, but it's really goalie. It's about how well that guy between the pipes is playing for you a lot of the time. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. And there's some question marks in both areas for the Capitals right now with regard to health and with regard to what they're going to do in net. I mean, if you want to start with the injuries, the good news is it looks to me like Alex Ovechkin is going to suit up tonight. Might see his minutes curtailed, but the fact that he's getting back out there indicates to me that he's going to be able to be good to go for Saturday's game.
Why have him play tonight in a meaningless game?
It is a meaningless game. That said, JP, there's something about offensive players where they want to feel the puck. They want to know, you know, he wants to know in the back of his head that when he floors it, when he, you know, goes 10-10ths or 9-10ths, that he's not going to strain something and have to come out of Saturday's game. He wants to know if there's a problem, I need to know it now. And, you know, when he starts making some off-schedule movements and some of those other things and gets bumped by an opposing player, you know, he's been in practice for the past couple of days, but, you know, no one's touched number 8 in practice. You know, it's a little different when you get rubbed out by an opposing player along the wall. You know, I'm sure he wants to see how things are feeling. But again, you know, getting back to being an offensive player, you know, there's something about the radar and the feel for the puck and, you know, you're getting your timing back on the one timer and all that stuff goes into it. And you don't want to get into game one, if that's going to be there or not, or, you know, whether there's going to be some fine tuning. You know, when you get to this part of the year, you don't have a lot of wiggle room. There's not a whole lot of room for error. You don't want to get out there in game one and need the first 30 minutes to find your game.
Sure.
Ovechkin wants to be on his game when he gets there.
Absolutely, and that's what we want as well. Beyond Ovi, there are concerns. I just saw the Caps tweeted out that Vitek Vanacek's going to start tonight. What in the goal? What's going on with Samsonov? I'll start there, and then we'll get to Kuzi.
Okay. And right before we get to that, let's also just note that TJ Oshie is also not playing tonight. We don't know the extent of his lower body injury. That could be a big problem.
Wow.
John Carlson's not playing tonight, but I do think he's okay. He looked okay to me this morning. I think they're just being cautious with him. As far as the goaltenders, yes, there are some questions there. Ilya Samsonov was punished last Monday, along with Evgeny Kuznetsov, for being late to a team function. The following day, they were placed in the COVID protocol for the second time this season. And when you're placed in COVID protocol, it's typically for two reasons. You tested positive, or you were in close proximity to someone who tested positive. By rule, the NHL, the Players Association, and the team are not allowed to say which of those things occurred to those players. They're just unavailable because they're on the COVID protocol list. If you put two and two together, and you don't want to assume too much, but it's been 8 days now. It's been 8 days. So if it were just a close contact, you probably would have already tested negative a couple times and you're out of it. Maybe. You know, and that's why I think the NHL has left a lot of gray area there, so there's not too much speculation. But I mean, the big problem, regardless of, you know, what their status is in terms of, you know, whether they're sick again or not, the big problem is they've now missed 8 days. They have not played since May 1, actually, so 10 days if you go back all the way to their last game. They're not playing tonight, obviously. Who knows if they're going to get on the ice before Saturday's game. So you're already talking about two key pieces that are going to be unavailable for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And that's starting to rankle some nerves, quite frankly, in the front office, guys. I mean, this is the second time they've been on the list. The first time, they got the team fined $100,000. Now, again, you want to be careful. You don't want to blame people for getting ill in the middle of a global pandemic. But twice?
But if
there's some irresponsibility there.
If you're doing things that are against the protocol, against the rules, you know, eventually, it's just like on this radio station. You know, yeah, people slip and say curse words every once in a while. And guess what? The FCC fines the station. Say enough of them and then they fire your ass, point blank. You know what I'm saying?
So didn't you just say one?
Those are that you can say. Okay, the ones you can't say.
George Carlin came up with the list of what you can't say.
I know them all, believe me. So, what I'm saying is, two times you go against protocol, you cost us money. Eventually, they get tired of you and you're gone. And I mean, it's a maturity issue. And I think sometimes, even in the pros, teams make people worse than what they are because they always give you a pat on the back because guess what? He's talented.
Yeah, I hear you, B. Mitch, and I do think things are coming to a head. I think they would like to get through this postseason before they have to make any tough decisions. But, sure. You know, my colleague Pierre LeBrun reported last week that, you know, people are frustrated enough in the front office that they're open to potentially taking trade calls on Kuznetsov this summer.
Wow.
So, you know, it's not going to be easy to move a player who's got $7.8 million per season for four seasons after this one, especially given what's happened here this year. But, you know, I've seen stranger things happen. It really stinks. You know, it stinks that this is happening right now as the Capitals are getting ready for an important. You know, every playoff run is important. This one's really important. Alex Ovechkin's 35 years old. You know, we talk about that proverbial window, you know, I feel like every May. But that window is legitimately getting very close to closing on this group of players.
And they were playing so lights out a month ago, 6 weeks ago.
Their
ceiling is still so high.
Yes. I will say this. because Netsoff and Samsonov are a concern for sure. To me, the bigger concern is just kind of the disjointedness that's happened here over the last 2 weeks. Mm. You know, the Tom Wilson fracas and the fallout, the fact that guys have been in and out of the lineup due to injury. You know, guys may not be 100% as we get into the playoffs. The fact that you drew the Bruins, you know, who are any team the Caps were going to face in the first round of the playoffs, the format, the way it is now, it was going to be tough. But the Bruins are a whole nother animal. Mm-hmm. You know, they like to play a heavy physical style the way the Capitals do. They got a first line that when they're on, they're really, really hard to stop. That's why they're called the perfection line, the Bergeron line with Marchand and Pasternak. That's just they're out of this world. You know, Tuukka Rask, historically, you know, hasn't been great against the Capitals. He's pretty good against them this year, however. And then there's just the whole sideshow stuff, you know. Yeah. One of the biggest things, and I'm actually going to be writing about this for The Athletic tonight, is one of the biggest things is just going to be Tom Wilson, you know, keeping his head about him. Those guys are going to be trying to get under his skin. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, just containing emotions and kind of keeping your emotions in check and, you know, your eyes on the goal is going to be a challenge. So, I mean, for me as a reporter, there's going to be a lot of stuff to write about.
Yeah.
Caps fan, the average Caps fan should be a little concerned.
I mean, because here's where I'm at, Tark, as an average Caps fan. I very much care about Kuzi's future, Ovi's future. What do they do with Samsonov? What do they do with goalie? All these things. But right now, I just want them to win for 6 weeks. You know, right. Like there's the immediacy of this playoff run, and then there's what else is going to happen. And I'm focused on the right now. In that mode, is it important for them to get a win tonight? Even though Oshie's out and Carlson's out and all these guys are out?
I don't know how important it is. I mean, also, when you look at the team Boston is bringing to D.C., guys, I was looking at it a few minutes ago.
I saw your tweet. Yeah, there's nobody playing.
They're going to have some dudes in the lineup that I've never heard of. I mean, Bergeron's out, Marchand's out, Pasternak's out. That's your first line. You know, Krejci's out, Hall's out, Smith's out, Corrales. I mean, literally your top six forward group is out. I don't even know how they're doing this under the salary cap ceiling. I mean, they must have a ton of space. The Capitals would love to do the same thing, but they can't because they just wouldn't have enough players because they're up against the ceiling. I mean, Carlo's out, Riley's out, McAvoy's out. It's gonna be, Rask is out. It's going to be a preseason-esque type lineup.
Are you saying to bet the over, Tark?
Yes, if I were a gambling man, I probably would. Right. But at the same time,
let's make a note of that. Yeah,
note it.
I wanted to ask you. Go ahead. I'm sorry, T.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I don't know how much you can read into the result one way or another based on, you know, the injuries on the cap side and the fact that the Bruins are bringing their minor league outfit to town.
Sure. Last one from us. Mayor Bowser has lifted all capacity restrictions a month from today, June 11th. Who knows if the Caps will still be playing there, but I think they're going to keep inching up how many people are going to be at Capital One Arena as this playoff series unfolds. Are you excited? Do you think the players are excited? How much could that be a boost for this team?
You know, it's funny. I was talking to someone about this right before I came on with you guys because, you know, every city is in a different kind of state in terms of, you know, what they are allowing in terms of percentage of fans. And I just wonder how that might impact things because, I mean, you know, a full building on F Street, when it's a sea of red and you've been in there with
absolutely
your jersey on in that environment, that is a big boost for teams. You know, some teams are, you know, already at 10,000. Some teams are still, you know, in the low single digits. So I think it's going to make for some potential mismatches in terms of the home ice advantage. I do think the fact that the Caps are going to get back to, what, about 5,000 starting Saturday, I think that's going to be a big boost. I mean, I was in there a couple times for those 2,000 fans. You know, when you combine the 2,000 fans with a little bit of extra help from the speakers, it's different than when, you know, the building was completely empty 2 or 3 months ago. So now that we're getting back to, you know, 5,000 fans, I think there's going to be even more energy. And you know, one of the places you talk to players, you know, I've been doing this for, you know, for a bit now. And when I talk to players on other teams and I ask them about hostile environments and places they don't want to be, places they don't want to play in the playoffs, especially, Washington's on that list. And it's because the sea of red, and they're on right on top of you, and the goal chant and the horn and the, you know, unleash the fury. I mean, if you're a visiting fan, you don't want any part of that. Mm-hmm. You don't want any part of that. And if you're the Capitals, you want as many people in the building as you can have.
You want all
so
of it.
If they can still be playing a month from now, and they get back to full capacity, I know everyone's going to be looking forward to that.
I know I am. B. Mitch and I have been trying to get Garnet Hathaway to give us tickets to a game for like a month now. We're still waiting. Still waiting on that.
Dude, no one's getting tickets right now. It's the craziest thing. I mean, unless you're like a...
Are you going to games? Are you covering them in person?
I've done both. Okay. So
everything's on Zoom, right?
Yeah, so everything is still on Zoom. And so when you go in the arena, they have us sitting in the stand, which is fine. The view is good. But still, you know, afterward, because you're doing the Zoom calls, if the Zamboni's in the ice and the visiting fans are still in a suite behind you yucking it up, it can get really hard.
So you're not in the hockey press box? That thing's spread out. I mean, it's 2 miles high in the sky.
As of right now, we are not. I think there might be a chance that we go back there. So what they've done is they've tiered the building, right? So, like, you know, tier one employees are on the
sure,
bottom level.
Yeah.
You know, media is on level two. Other people can be on three. So they're doing it in a way to just keep everyone safe. And I get it. I get it. They're doing the best they can in a tough situation. And like I said, the view is awesome from the 200 seats where they have us. The problem is just the hearing the interviews afterwards. Until we're back in this, you know, going into locker rooms, there's not a huge upside to being there for
gotcha.
A reporter.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Tarek, we appreciate it, man.
You,
thank you for the time. I hope Kareem's hockey career is kicking butt as usual.
I appreciate
He's
it,
He's the
guys.
Best hockey player in the house.
By far. Thank you, Tarek.
All right, Tarek.
The great Tarek El-Bashir from The Athletic covers the Caps. Give him a follow at Tarek_El-Bashir. B. Mitch, Cousy's future is uncertain. But you know what might help him?
What's that?
Settling down a bit, buying a house, and calling our guy John Leahy. There's nobody out there that could get Evgeny Kuznetsov a better house than John Leahy.
If you need your house sold, you need to reach out to my buddy over there, John Leahy. Make sure you reach out to him because he knows exactly what he's doing. Like Eric and Kathy, they wanted top dollar for their $700,000 Potomac home to make a down payment on their beautiful new construction home. So what John did, Jonathan aggressive marketing and quickly, he used his aggressive marketing and quickly created multiple offers and sold over asking price. Actually, this was the highest price that subdivision had ever seen to date. So Jonathan was even able to negotiate a rent back that allowed them to move on their timeline. Jonathan Leahy of EXP Realty. Jonathan offered flexible fees customized to your needs. John's strategic marketing and huge buyer demand is selling homes up to $70,000 over asking price. Just think of what you can do with that extra 70 grand. Go on vacation, buy you a big house, get you a new car. We know J.P. Weiss was looking for a new car, so J.P. won't have to go out and get a new house and get that new car for her. Life happens, so if needed, John will let you out of your contract at any time.
Here's the thing right now. The market is so competitive. Interest rates are low. Prices are high. You need an agent that knows how to handle it. They are going to be complex, competitive situations. You need an experienced agent to navigate through the offers and leverage the best deal with the highest return for your dollar. That's why you should call John Leahy, 301-651-4900, or go online to johnsellsdmv.com. That is johnsellsdmv.com, and start packing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Hosted host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Shout out to Danny Ruye for just busting out some at-bat impressions. Those were terrific. Also, shout out to Landfill for smoking. We had a wiffle ball bat during the commercial break, and we did some really stupid stuff. We'll just leave it at that.
I just learned today that I basically leave home with my children, and I come to work, and I have my kids here.
I'd love to be offended, but you're right. B, you weren't here yesterday, but here's what I know. I am 1-0 and heard it here first. I had the Spurs +7. They beat the Bucks by 21 last night.
So I have to pick two today to catch up?
That's fair. Sure.
So I love that.
What did you two do?
Well, I took the Jazz -2, and I think they lost by 3.
They
so
did?
I took an L.
Landfill's
0-1. L.
And I won because I took like the Giants and whoever they played to not score in the first inning, and they did not.
I need to start putting these NBA bets in. I'm on fire, and I just haven't made any money from them.
Also, brief story, I took an even bigger L last night.
I see.
I got onto DraftKings, and they had a nice odds boost. It was max bet $25 +100, Mike Trout or Shohei Ohtani to get one hit in a baseball game. They got 0 hits.
Oh, wow.
They got 0 hits.
I can't believe that.
That's tough.
Yeah, it was not fun.
That doesn't sound fun. All right, so 0-1, 1-0 each for us, Cody. All right, and it is B. Mitch has to pick two. Play the sounder, Mr. Landfill.
You're first.
All righty, Brian, you have to make two picks. Would you like to start?
I'm going to go with a parlay for my pick yesterday.
Okay. So a parlay is 1.5 points for a win?
Yeah.
And you're saying... We never agreed if it's – last week it was a –
Don't worry about it, JP.
No, we can keep it the way it was. 1.5 to point – you only lose half a point if you lose.
Yeah, because you're trying out.
Yeah.
You got to get –
you're swinging for the fences.
Based off of swinging for the fences. Okay, well, I'm going to take the Raptors +13. Is it 13.5, Landfill?
Hold on. I'm pulling up the Raptors game right now. It is +14.
+14.
Raptors +14.
And so you are picking a game – that I like.
Okay. Would you like it the other way?
No. I like it your way.
I'm taking the Raptors +14, and then I will take the Knicks.
Raptors and Knicks for Mr. Mitchell.
Knicks.
I don't even see the Knicks playing.
The Knicks playing against the Lakers.
Oh, the Lakers out there.
Yeah, and the Lakers are -5. What is the Lakers on what's called?
The Lakers are -5.5.
Give me the Knicks.
The Knicks, okay.
Look at me, Mitch, taking parlay. The dogs.
That's my parlay.
All right.
For yesterday, and then tonight, give me the Caps.
Oh, wait. So you have a parlay? You're making a lot up here.
I'm trying my damnest.
All right. I will just take the Raptors +14. I like that a lot.
I think Grant wants to get on this, too. I'm mad at the Angels, so I'm going to take the Cheaters money line tonight.
All right. Mr. Grant Paulson is joining us for Heard It Here First.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
We're good.
You just were very kind. You brought over a couple chicken wings for one of our producers.
I did. Now, I was taking them to the trash can, and I said, Stallion, do you want the rest of these teriyaki wings?
Right. No, I thought it was a very sweet gesture. You're the worst wing eater I've ever seen in my life. Have you ever seen this guy?
No, what did he do? He left most of the meat on it?
You mean the meat that's in that box? I don't know if there are any bones. I can't see it through all the chicken still in the box.
If I may, I ordered 6 wings.
And we ended up with 12.
We did not know it was buy one, get one free day, so I got way more wings than I was promised. And we were eating them like during commercial breaks. It's hard to like rip it apart and really go to town.
I don't know. I didn't have any meat left on my bones.
My 2-year-old daughter eats wings where she takes like a little bit of a bite and gets a little skin off, and that's the end. One of the wings looks exactly like she ate it.
Listen, that wasn't a great performance. I'll allow that. I probably ate total 7 of the 12, and I gave 3 to Stallion. Is that sound about right?
No.
And I kind of nibbled on a couple other. I think I nibbled on a few.
Oh, okay.
Ate
I'm
some.
Not thinking. I thought you were saying 7
I would love to sit down at a bar and eat wings with you and prove my wing
that.
Capabilities.
I'm not going to judge you based on this box.
And he has no meat.
I was trying to. So what's funny is I was trying to teach Ryan how to do that. And I go over. I'm like, let's use one of these wings as an example. And I look at the box and I'm like, whose wings are these? That's literally how this all started. This is egregious.
I am not noted for being like the biggest eater. Like I often leave stuff and I don't know. Maybe I'm. I swear, though, when it comes to wings, I can eat wings.
I think if you knew you were going to be judged by it, you would have probably put in a little more work.
No, but usually I can crush wings. I love wings. That was more wings than I was expecting. I had already eaten something else.
Crush all of them that you eat, though.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair. Listen,
By the way, they didn't send him 50. They sent him 12.
12.
That's a sitting.
Yeah. I asked for 6.
That's appetizer for most
six.
People.
Were you going to eat a burger with bacon afterwards and then some fries?
I had
he prefers
dessert?
The little cheeseburger from
I'd
Five
had
Guys.
A chicken breast and a polio string cheese before the wings got here.
Next time you eat wings.
and a thing of peanuts.
Reputation on the line. Next time.
Listen, let's pick a wing day and I will perform.
I like it.
Thank you, Grant. Cody, your pick.
Eric Fetty over 3.5 strikeouts at -150.
I like that. Grant and Danny are up next. Listen to them. Judge them on their wing eating. Thank you very much for listening. If you made it this far, Cody Betts owes you some hot sauce.